Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Saturday, July the 30th, 2022. On this edition of the Politocrat, another edition of the Sex and Relationship series, this particular episode is about asking for what you want. Ask yourself what you want, and then learn how to ask for it. All of that coming up next. Welcome to Saturday on the Politocrat Daily Podcast. I hope you are well. And I want to just jump straight into this. This is part five of the Sex and Relationships series, as it has started this month on the Politocrat Daily Podcast. I believe it was this month. And my goodness me, we're almost at the end of July. Oh my goodness. I think this might be the last of the series. This is part five. I might do another one in the next few weeks, but this one is certainly going to be the last one of July, the fifth part in this Sex and Relationships series for the Politocrat Daily Podcast. And this is really about asking for what you want in a relationship, whether it's, you know, whether it's a sexual relationship or just the relationship at large. And not being afraid to ask for what you want and how to ask for it. Well, you know, there's a gazillion ways to ask for what you want in a relationship, but you've got to find out what your needs are. What are your needs? If you don't know what your needs are, then you're not going to know what you're asking for. And if you don't know what you're asking for, well, you have to kind of figure out for yourself, what is it that you need emotionally? What is it that you need in terms of feelings, and what in terms of what it's kind of hard to even articulate this. What is it that makes you feel contented? What makes you feel contentment in a relationship? What is it that makes you feel whole, whole, in a relationship? What is it that makes you feel satisfied? And I'm not speaking solely about sex. I'm speaking about what is it in your whole ecosystem of your existence. I know that sounds awfully pretentious to put it that way. I'm just trying to figure out how to articulate this, because even myself, even I shouldn't say that. I know what I want to say, but I'm not doing a job of saying it very well here. I think what I am trying to express, dear listener, is what is it that you need? What is it that nourishes you in a relationship, in life itself? What nourishes you? What makes you tick? What makes you feel alive? What makes you feel contentment, as I said a few moments ago? And then figure out how to express that in a relationship or in some other way. In a relationship, in a whatever it is, a marriage, you know, there is no manual for how to communicate. There is no cliff notes for that particular situation. There's no notebooks for dummies on how to ask for what you want in a relationship. And there's no mind reading either. You can't read somebody's mind, and you can't expect them to know what it is you want. And if you're not going to tell someone what you want, how are they going to know? I think it's very important to realize that when a person is in a relationship with you and you with they, it is important that you and they are able to articulate to each other what it is you need. And you cannot love someone the way you want to love them. I mean, you can try to do that, but you might want to love them the way they want to be loved, because for all your best efforts and intentions, if they don't respond to the kinds of things you do to make them feel loved and appreciated and seen and felt and heard, it's going to be a rough road, a rocky sailing. It's going to be choppy waters. Ultimately, you have to love someone the way they want to be loved, which means you have to articulate your needs, or rather, they need to articulate their needs to you and you to them. I think it becomes as simple as that in some senses. How do you articulate what you want? Well, I think this goes to your upbringing, doesn't it? If you were raised in a household that did not express itself, did not have feelings, where you were learned and told not to express your feelings and thoughts and your emotions and all those kinds of things, it's going to be a little bit more of a tricky dance for you, perhaps. Unless you have been able to divorce yourself from that upbringing and find a new language, and I'm not even going to say love language, a new language in which to express who you are as a human being. As I said earlier, there are more than one or two or three or seven ways to ask for what you want in a relationship. I think one of the ways to ask for what you want is to ask for what you want the way you ask for whether or not there's an item available at a supermarket. Seriously, I'm not joking about this. It doesn't have to be showy. It doesn't have to be seductive if you don't want it to be. It simply has to be, I'd like to do this, or I'd like to do that, or are you comfortable with this, or here's what I need. How do you feel about that? I'd like a box of oranges. I'd like a bushel of apples. I'd like a carton of eggs. Seriously, it's like asking for those things. And you'd really have to do it in the same way. Especially for those of you who are shy and who are a little bashful and who are just terrified of rejection. Now, I talked about rejection in the previous iteration of this sex and relationship series. And you can go back and listen to that from a few short days ago, about 7 or 8 or 9 days ago now. And you'll be able to find that it's part four, sex and relationships part four. It's called Rejection and the Power of No. You really need to listen back to that episode to talk about rejection and all the kinds of things around that that people fear. We all get rejected. But my focus here is articulation rather than rejection. Articulating your needs and wants and desires is so important. And if you're not able to first articulate for yourself what those are, you're never going to get those across to the person that you wish to get them across to. That's just not going to happen. This is just not going to happen. You're going to have to be able to do that. And that might take some time. That might take some navigation in your mind, in your heart, in your body, in your soul. You may be tracing the outlines of what those things are for yourself over many days, weeks, or months. You may not know what it is you need. And that's part of the battle too. That's probably half the battle actually. Identifying what it is you need that makes you feel whole, makes you feel satisfied, makes you feel seen to, makes you feel attended to, makes you feel loved, makes you feel as if you are being connected with. You have to reconcile what those things are. And you have to define what those are for yourself. You might draw on past relationships. You might draw on past marriages. What worked for you out of those previous marriages, what didn't. You might focus on that. But you have to know what works for you. And you also do have to know, as I've just alluded to, what doesn't work for you. And that, all of this requires a communication, requires a communication pathway. Create an environment of comfort around communication. Spend time with your spouse. Spend time with that significant other, your partner, whomever it might be. And if you're both very busy people, make sure that you say to your spouse, to your partner, hey, you know, I'd like to have us talk together for about half an hour. When will you have half an hour of time? Would you like to do it this weekend? Would you like to do it at some time? You've got to block that time out. You've got to make that communication, your priority in a busy ass week when you've got all this gazillion stuff going on, gazillion things, you have to make a priority for yourself and identify and carve out time, the two of you. Agree to a time in which you can talk to me, whether it's a half hour, an hour, whether it's a block of time, like 3 hours, to figure out what it is that you want to talk about, what it is you want to articulate to your partner, to your spouse. And have that conversation with them and invite them, as well as yourself, to express what is it you need, what's working for you, what's not working for you. That's how you have to do this. Now look, there's a gazillion other ways to approach this. That's the way I recommend that you approach this, because you have to approach this like a mature adult. And I think the way that we communicate around sex and relationships in the Western world is utterly juvenile, especially here in the United States and also in the United Kingdom as well. There's this very juvenile, there's a lot of juvenility around all of this. And I think it's very helpful as we just strip things down to their barest essentials. And just speak to each other. Like I say, it's like going into a supermarket and asking, do you have any eggs available? Do you have any cereal? I mean, seriously, you have to behave like that. And not be embarrassed or afraid or shy to ask for what you want and what you need. And you have to do that. And do it with the earnestness and the seriousness and the, quite frankly, the sincerity that you want. Now, if your partner is someone who is not receptive to that, then of course you have to think about whether or not you need to take couples counseling or whatever it might be. I would not discount any of those things. But if your partner or your spouse is not receptive to a meeting or does not want to express what they need or what they want, or maybe is just completely shut off to all of this, you really have to do some more digging in sense of, well, I really do feel alone in this. You have to identify and self-reference. Do not point your finger at your partner. Because if your partner rejects an invitation to talk about what you need, right? Do not point fingers at your partner. You are going to alienate them further if you do. What you need to do, dear listener, is to say to your partner, I feel alone here. I really want to reach out and I feel alone. I feel as if I am not being listened to or heard, and I don't want to feel lonely and I want to be able to have a dialogue. Can we do that? Because it's really hurting my feelings when this happens, when I feel alone like this. That's the way that you can speak to your partner without pointing fingers at your partner. And that you stuff absolutely will turn off your partner in a heartbeat. Turn off your spouse in a heartbeat. You never do this. You never do that. Da, 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 da. And that will result in a partner or a spouse shutting down in a heartbeat. What you want to do, and it's an acquired skill, it's not easy to do. It's not an easy skill. It takes a lot of time. Avoid using the word you, as in Y-O-U, not the letter U and not E-W-E, as in a female sheep, I think. You want to be able to avoid using that word you. You do not want to be pointing your finger. You want to be expressing the I. That means yourself. This is the one time, or the two times, where you can talk about yourself, but you've got to talk about yourself in terms of how you're feeling about what is happening without pointing the finger back at the other person, without using the word you, because you becomes very powerful and accusatory. And when you start to do that, picking up the you this and you that, it will turn your partner off, turn off your partner and or your spouse. It will turn off your spouse. That just, you cannot do that. One cannot do that. And so I think that the language that we use is extremely important in these scenarios. And for one, the essential is to be able to find a way to personalize your own feelings and convey them to your spouse without pointing the finger at your spouse. If you can say, when I hear the response that was just given, I feel alone. I feel as if I'm not being cared for. And I want to be cared for. I want to be heard. I want to be held. I want whatever the thing is, right? That's how you go about this. And I know too many people do this. They use the word you. You don't do this. You aren't there for me for that. You. And look, I completely understand how important it is to convey to your spouse that there's something that they've done that has hurt you. And convey your disappointment in them, that there's things that they've done or not done that make you upset. But there are different ways to articulate that. One of them is to say, when this particular task doesn't get done, I feel as if I'm not being cared for. I feel as if I'm being taken for granted. My feelings are hurt, and I want to have a conversation about this. And I really need for attention around these issues. Let's talk about them. So you've done two things in that instance with what I've just said as an example. One, you have personalized yourself with the I language, I, as in the pronoun, and you've conveyed those feelings to your partner without pointing fingers at your partner or your spouse. And two, you've also then said, let me reach out. You've also offered your hand to reach out and make this a collaborative process. And so your spouse has not heard anything about you. The spouse has heard two things. One, how you're feeling and what the action that's being done results in for you and the hurt around that. And then two, the invitation is there to work on this together as a team so that this is not a pointing finger exercise. That's an effective way to communicate in a relationship. It really is. And I think that if you apply that, I think you'll find it works. I think you'll find, in fact, that it works very well. And there is no issue at all in trying. It's when you don't try that you can really have all those regrets later on. But I think the key is for all of us in relationships, in marriages, to have a language adjustment. Not only a language adjustment, but also the way we speak that language that we are adjusting. And we have to make the language much more holistic, encompassing, inclusive, and less accusatory, even though we might reveal that we are frustrated by something our spouse does or doesn't do. And they may well be frustrated with us as well. And that has to be a two-way communication street. And there has to be room and openness to listening. I think that's another key element of this, is to be able to be a good listener. That too is an acquired taste and an acquired skill. It doesn't happen overnight. Just as I said, that you need to have a certain level of comfort asking about what you need and articulating your needs and thoughts and desires and feelings. You also need to be able to articulate and express other things around relationships and wants and desires. When I come back, I'm going to be talking a bit more specifically, and I thought I'd been pretty specific already, dear listener, about asking for what you want and not being ashamed to do so. Hello, Omar here, and I hope you are enjoying this particular episode of the Politocrat Daily Podcast. I just want to bring to your attention the brand new Enough End Gun Violence t-shirts, which I have designed. And they're available now at the Politocrat Daily Podcast online store at the-politocrat.myshopify.com. Just head to the store right now at the-politocrat.myshopify.com for these great t-shirts with a powerful message. On the front of the t-shirt, the word enough. One word says it all. And then on the back of the t-shirt, a very powerful message that will certainly catch your eye. Enough, end gun violence. And there is a graphic on the back as well. It is a powerful message, and you have to check that out. So please take a look at it and go ahead and buy. They're available now for you to wear all summer long and beyond at the Politocrat Daily Podcast store online. It's time to say enough, and it's time to end gun violence. Head to the-politocrat.myshopify.com right now and buy. Thank you. Welcome back. So, I want to get now to the specifics here. How to ask for what you want. Of course, in the first part of this episode, I talked about articulating what you want, but really by finding out what it is you want, identifying the things you want in a relationship, in a marriage. Talk about those things. Find out what those are. Think about what makes you feel loved, what makes you feel attended to, what makes you feel that you're being taken care of. And this applies to anyone. You've got to figure out what it is you want. And maybe you don't know. You know, there's a lot of people in the world who don't know what it is they want. They really don't. They honestly don't know what they want. Or if they do, they just don't know how to express it. And then there are people who aren't able to communicate those things for whatever reason. And then there are people who just are taught not to ask for what they want because they've been brought up in a very strict household that might be touched by a certain type of religion or thereabouts, if you will. And that religion or that school of thought says you're not supposed to ask for this. You're not entitled to it. It may not have anything to do with religion. It might just be you're brought up in a very strict and very conservative household, for example. And you may have been told that you're not entitled to ask for this or that. Particularly if you are female, you may have been told you're not entitled to this. You shouldn't ask for this. You're not worthy of it. Whatever. You might have had some painful experiences in relationships that may have kind of led you or resulted in that kind of situation. But what I really want to focus on is how to ask for it. And as I said earlier, asking for it meaning asking for what you want in a relationship. And it could be asking for what you want sexually as well, of course. I mean, you can just kind of superimpose that over this as well. But my goal here is not to really talk about what you want sexually. I mean, I think those things, again, it kind of dovetails into this as well. Because you can talk about the physical and the emotional and the, you know, all the intellectual, the things that make you tick, what is it and what it is that makes you tick, makes you feel loved, makes you feel seen, makes you feel, you know, as I said, attended to. You know, I mean, you've got to figure that out first. But what I want to get to here is asking. And as I said earlier, ask for this just as you would ask for some goods at a supermarket. Really. And just define what it is you want. Say, you know, I really need to have more cuddles, more hugs. I really want to know that I'm going to have support on this particular issue. I am asking for some kind of reassurance. And you might use the word you. But when you use the word you do not want to be accusatory with that word. For example, if I say, well, I want to just understand and know from you if this is something that you are willing to try to do. Are you willing to try? rather than say, you've got to do this, you've got to do, you know what I mean? You don't want to present it that way. You really do need to, and I use the word you. I think people in relationships or marriages really do need to adjust the language that they're using. I think the whole society does. I think American society does, British society does, Western society does. It needs to reshift the language and make the language more inclusive and nurturing. And when I say inclusive, I mean something that doesn't shut out the partner or the spouse. Something that persuades or signals to that partner or spouse that they too have a stake in the articulation of your feelings and your wants and desires and needs. And that's the kind of language that you need. You need a more holistic language and embracing language, and they do too. And maybe you need to have that meeting with your partner or spouse to articulate that. We need to talk to each other. Can we talk to each other? Can we see each other? Can we hear each other? Can we set aside some time for that? I would really like to be able to do that with you. I mean, someone out there listening to this, you might find it funny what I'm saying, but I'm dead serious. You literally do have to communicate like this. Because it's better than not communicating at all. It's better than just sitting there and guessing, and the two of you guessing what the other person wants. And you really can't do that in a relationship. Otherwise, how are you even together? How are you even together? How can you do that? I mean, I guess someone in the world can. You've got to be able to express your feelings. And again, that's something that can leave you very vulnerable. If you are trying to express your feelings, that involves a great deal of vulnerability. I don't care who you are. I'm not even talking about this on gender lines. I'm talking about this on human being lines across the board. Anytime you're trying to express your feelings to the person that you love and care about, it takes a great deal of vulnerability to do that. You are instantly vulnerable because the other person can, if they desire, completely spurn you and reject you and reject your needs and wants and can actually use it against you. That's why trust is so important. And trust is based on honesty. And if you don't have honesty, you don't have anything. It's like what I keep saying. I love Billy Joel's song, Honesty, for a reason. You've got to be able to be honest and transparent. You've got to be able to engender trust. And trust only comes when there's honesty involved. And if you don't have honesty, you ain't got jack crap. And you've got to be able to be in a space where you and your partner are receptive to communication, open, loving communication. And if your partner has some issue where your partner is not happy, then you've got to be able to be the listener and listen to what your partner's telling you. It might not be the nicest thing. It may not be pleasant. It's not, but it can't be attacking or accusatory. It's got to be a language of, look, I am feeling alone in this relationship, in this marriage, and I desperately want this marriage to work. And I just need some time with you. I mean, you can say you in that way. Can we schedule some time to talk? And let's do it really soon because I really need to convey to you how I'm feeling. And I'd like for you to tell me how you're feeling. Hey, you can use the word you, but you don't have to be accusatory. And what I just said was not accusatory. It was revelatory and it was constructive. The revelatory part was, I need for you to speak. I need to speak to you. The revelatory part is, I feel alone in this marriage. That's the revelation, right? And then the constructive part is, can we sit down together and figure out a time to talk? Because I think it's very important that we do. I really want to become closer and let's draw out a time to talk about this. That's more of the constructive engagement part where you are kind of putting out you're putting out, literally putting out an olive branch to your partner, to your spouse, and engaging them. And then that means that you're going to go at this as a team. But you have to be an adult and a mature adult to do this. I'm not talking you have to be of a certain age to be a mature adult, but you've got to approach this with a mature angle. And it means that you both have to be vulnerable. But you've got to be able to be very specific. You can say something like, I would like more of this. I would like more of that. I would like more emotional support. I would like to be able to do X, Y, and Z. I would like to be able for us to do these things together. I would like for us to go places together and do this, but you know, that kind of thing. That's needs and wants, desires, articulations. And you know, again, as I said, you don't have to talk about it in sexual terms. Certainly, you can just transpose what I'm saying into that as well. But you've got to be able to know what you want. You can't have your spouse guess. That's the worst thing in the world. You can't have your spouse guess at what you want. And you can't guess what your spouse wants. You've got to talk this through. You've got to be able to. You can't read each other's minds. Now, you may be able to read each other's expressions, but you cannot read what people are thinking, which means, ergo, communication. You've got to communicate. You've got to be able to be comfortable doing that. And hopefully, the two of you will set forth an environment where you are comfortable. But the most important thing is to ask for what you want. It's better than not asking for it. And by the way, even after all of this engagement happens between you and your spouse, you and your partner, your significant other, whomever, there's no guarantee that they'll say yes. If they happen to say no, well, you got to take it on the chin there, I think. Or there may be an option to look at couples counseling. It's possible. Wouldn't hurt. There's an option for that, possibly, if you're in that scenario. If you're not feeling that your partner's receptive to anything despite your best efforts, you might want to take on some counseling together. And the worst thing you can do is say, well, you got to go to counseling, not me. That's the worst thing to say. You need to go together. You need to go as a team. You need to be able to be there. You're both supporting your partner or your spouse, and you're learning your partner. You're learning things about your partner, perhaps through these therapy sessions that weren't apparent to you even before you married this person, or were things that the person you married have kept so deeply rooted and embedded in their souls because of whatever traumas related to it that they didn't dare articulate it. And then through this therapy, this counseling session, then there's this excavation of the person, and voila, there's a stunning revelation that you learn. And then you try to put all that together. Well, maybe this is why this, and maybe this is why that. But look, all of that said, right, you still have to be able to ask for what you want. Like I say, as if you were in the supermarket and you were asking whether or not there was a bowl of cereal or a box of cereal that you wanted, a particular brand name, was still available. That's how you have to do this. You can't afford to not do it. Asking for what you want is a powerful and affirmative thing. And you can be met with yes, or you could be met with no. Maybe you could be met with, well, let's talk about it another time. But depending on the level of the relationship and where it is and where it stands communication-wise, the another timeline may not work for you. And if your partner is not receptive to counseling or couples counseling, it makes things more difficult. If your spouse isn't receptive to that couples counseling, then maybe you go by yourself. Maybe you go by yourself, and then maybe you have a conversation with your spouse at a later date. But it's so important to be able to ask for what you want. There's so many people on this planet who don't know how to do that. And it comes out in this very toxic way, usually toxically masculine way. And there's ways to communicate with your spouse, with your partner. There's ways to do that that don't involve all this other kind of macho BS or toxic BS. It's essential that we communicate in this world with each other. And with all these smartphones and these social media platforms and everything else, it seems that while there's more communication along those lines than anywhere else, there is less human-to-human contact and conversation in person everywhere. Obviously, the pandemic plays a large role in that, and also this monkeypox that's now really wreaking havoc. I also think, however, that it's just about the way we shut down with each other. And technology does make a difference in that, makes a huge difference. Certainly does. But this is something that is very, very important. The ability to say what you want and what you need in a relationship, what you need in a marriage. You have to be able to have that skill to articulate that, because many a marriage has failed off of communication. Many a marriage has failed off of a lot of things, but many a marriage has certainly failed on communication grounds. And that can be fatal, just the lack of attention to communication. It means so very much. And in a relationship, asking for what you need is the most cathartic and therapeutic and adult thing you can possibly do. And it also shows that you love your partner and care about your partner, that you love your spouse and care about your spouse. So why not communicate? What's the worst that can happen? Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.